Amen. Praise the Lord. How are you? I'm so blessed to be here. I was here last Sunday, but one. Let me see those who are here. Okay. Oh, bless you. Thank you. I also have very good friends of mine who have come to intercede for me as I preach, led by Brother Job Kisaka, who is my spiritual son from long, long, long time ago. I met Job in 1993, and we were with him in Eldoret, but now he's an American with his family. Job is there, yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. I also have another international intercessor in the name of Sammy. Sammy is from Zambia, and I was ministering somewhere, and then he told me he's going to come and join me today. Amen. Yeah, Sammy, you may want to wait. Yeah, that is Sammy all the way from Zambia. Sammy comes from the church of a friend of mine, Apostle Collins Chipaya, where I have been ministering for a number of years in Lusaka. My name is Boniface Runji, one of the bishops in Happy Church, and our presiding bishop, Bishop Joseph W.W. Kamau. I'm so honored to be here in this church, Empowerment Center, led by Pastor Tony and his wife, Pastor Catherine. I want to honor them for the work that the Lord is doing through them. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate the opportunity again to be able to bring the word of God to you this morning. I thank you, all of you, for being here today. Amen. I think this is the busiest country in the world. And it's very, very easy to be busy even on a Sunday and not be able to have time to come to church because there is something to do to make a little bit more money. But we thank God that we have found time to be able to come and be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want to bring the word of God, and I want us to read our Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and we will read a few verses there. The Bible says in verse 1, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." I want you to turn to flip maybe two pages or three, and then come to 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 14. "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but he considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have known the mind of Christ." Chapter 3, verse 1. "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans?" Turn with me backwards to Romans again, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 5. The Bible says, Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Amen. Quite a bit of reading there, all of it from the writings of Apostle Paul. I want to share to you this morning on what I call understanding spiritual pattern, understanding divine pattern. Amen. Christianity can be confusing sometimes when you don't understand how to live the life. And it's very easy to live a life which is confused, yet you are a Christian. And you are trying to do things to live your Christianity. You think your Christianity is in doing religious activities. I want to propose to you that Christianity is simple. And though it is simple, it entails you to understand the divine pattern, how God operates, and the pattern of God. Amen. Because there is a pattern of God and there is a pattern of the world. And Paul, writing to Romans, is telling them, do not conform to the worldly pattern. Amen. Because there is a worldly pattern and there is a spiritual pattern, and it is the pattern of God. It's a divine pattern of God. God never intended that we will live our Christianity as a trial and error kind of life. I remember when we were doing mathematics in O-levels many years ago, in the 70s, when I entered Form 1 in 1975, they were telling us that the mathematics we are doing are, you are going to get some answers through trial and error. So you try this answer, it's not the correct one. You try another one until you get the right answer. And Christianity is not about trying things, because life is not Eliezer. You live only one life. So you can't waste it on trial and error, on making mistakes. You need to ask God to give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding so that your life can be tailored and can be modeled according to the pattern of God. Because God has a pattern, and there are patterns in this life, whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not. You can be operating in a pattern, and you can see the pattern in your life. Hallelujah. But the life of God is a pattern of victory. You will see victory when you understand the spiritual pattern or divine pattern. The pattern of God is going to characterize your life. Because God has his pattern. And his pattern is going to manifest in what you do if you have received the understanding of what his pattern is all about. His pattern is going to show up in your family life, in your business life, in your career life, in your neighborhood, in everything, in ministry. You will start seeing that the pattern of the Lord will start to show up in everything you do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has a pattern. Right from the Old Testament, when you read the book of Exodus, God is very serious about his pattern. He told Moses that be sure to make the tabernacle according to the pattern that I gave you in the mountain. There were architects. There were people that could make very good plans for making a tabernacle or a temple. But God told Moses, I don't want human thinking. I don't want human pattern in what you're going to do. Because if you use the human pattern, I will not come and abide in that tabernacle. But if you're going to follow the pattern that I gave you on the mountain, then my presence is going to dwell in your midst. God has a pattern for you and me. When I understand the divine pattern, I am the temple of the Lord. I become a carrier of His glory, a carrier of His power, a carrier of His presence. My life manifests a life that defeats the world. Because the Bible says that that which is born of God, it overcomes the world. It doesn't matter whether it is in America, in Africa, in Asia, Australia, or Europe. Wherever you will be and you are in the world, the pattern of God will overcome the world for you. There is a way you will understand this is the system of the world. And now I am not in the system of the world. I'm operating in the system of God. The system that is spiritual. I'll not give excuses so that I don't do the things that God is demanding that I do. God has a pattern. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are given, we have, if you are doing family, and you come from a certain place, culture in Africa, that culture will provide for you the pattern. When I got married, my culture where I come from, and I started getting a lot of advice. I could even be told by someone in the street how I'm going to manage my wife. Because they have a pattern that they want you to walk in. There is what we call the worldly pattern. And every time and in every place where I base my life according to these patterns, I am missing it on God. Then I wonder, why is the Lord not showing up in my life? Why is the power of God not being manifested in my life? Why am I not a carrier of the glory of the Lord? Why am I not manifesting a life of victory? Why am I not receiving the revelation that comes from God? The way I'm supposed to do it. It's because I am out of the pattern that God has ordained. And as you read the Bible, the book of Romans, the book of 1 Corinthians and other writings of Paul, there is a way you can start to decipher and to discern the pattern of God for His people. And obviously, the ultimate example about divine pattern is Jesus, because Jesus is the pattern Son of God. Jesus came as a pattern Son. He was never defeated even for a moment by the devil. Because he understood the spiritual pattern. And he said that those that follow me, they will even do greater miracles than this. Because when they are walking in the pattern, then God's glory and power is attracted by their lifestyle. And they can be able to manifest things greater than those Jesus manifested when he walked in the, you know, in the land of Palestine. It doesn't mean they are greater than Jesus, but they will be able to experience, to see greater manifestation. I pray for you that the manifestation of God will increase in your life so that you will manifest his victory. I call you out of worldly patterns. I call you out of the pattern of the world that puts you on a course of frustration and defeat, that you may have revelation. Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus.
And he is saying, I pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you may know him better. Hallelujah. So, in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will. You'll be able to test and approve. You test and approve the will of God in the pattern when you are putting effort to be in the pattern of God. You don't need a diviner to come and tell you the will of God for your life. You can prove it. Hallelujah. You can prove it as you follow the Lord, as you operate in his pattern. Paul writes to Corinthians. He's telling them that, he is telling them that the carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. He continues in first chapter 3, verse 1, he says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you people as people who live by the Spirit. Some translations will say, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly. Paul is saying, although you are a church people, I could not address you as spiritual because you have not made the transition of moving from the worldly, moving from the carnal, moving from, the patterns that's allowed you in this world and purposefully entering into the pattern of God. So Paul says, I could not address you as spiritual. If Paul was standing before you this morning in this church empowerment center, is he going to address you as spiritual or is he going to address you as worldly? And as I was meditating about the church of Corinthians, if you know the church of, you read the letters of Paul to Corinthians, the church of Corinth was full of the gifts of the Spirit. In chapter 12, they were manifesting the gifts, name it, the gift of the word of knowledge, gift of wisdom, the gift of speaking in tongues, gift of interpretation of tongues, gift of prophecy, name it. The gifts were there. But Paul is saying, you are not spiritual. You have the gifts, but you are not spiritual. So you can have a gift and you are a very worldly. Can you imagine? You can even be speaking in tongues, but you are still very worldly. You have not known how to operate in the spiritual plane. Amen. Understanding divine pattern. And if you like, understanding spiritual pattern. Operating in spiritual pattern. In the spiritual pattern, we all become equal. There is no apostle, there is no bishop, there is no greater or less. Because the one who is greater is the one who created us. The one who has called us to this pattern. So Paul, writing to Corinthians, he tells them, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people of the Spirit. Because you do not come to my meeting. You will not be excited. You will not see like there is anything for you. So I spoke to you as worldly. You are still at the worldly level. And then he says, you are mere infants in Christ. You are mere infants in Christ. Hallelujah. So I spoke to you as worldly. Because if I was going to speak to you as spiritual, it means you needed to have reached a level where you can take spiritual responsibility. If you can't take spiritual responsibility, I cannot speak to you as spiritual. I speak to you as worldly. Infants in Christ. Mere infants in Christ, according to the NIV Bible. And the same Paul, in the book of Galatians chapter 4, he says, as long as the heir is a child, he is not better than a slave, because he operates under tutors. He is still being tutored. This heir knows nothing about what belongs to him. He needs to be coached by tutors, to be taught, this belongs to you. This belongs to your father. This is the boundary of what belongs to you. He still cannot operate with authority and responsibility. He is still at that level of an infant. I am coming to you today to say that the church needs to grow. The church has been at the low level for too long. The church has gotten stuck at the infant level for too long. And we need to grow. The kingdom of God cannot be manifested by infants. The kingdom of God will be manifested by sons and by people that have come to a place where they can take responsibility. You cannot, even in the natural, you cannot give authority to an infant. I saw in the British palace, is it last year or when a child was born into the royal family, and I saw the whole world grueled looking at the child and the mother, and everybody was waiting for the child and the mother to come from the hospital. But that child who came from the hospital was a mere infant who did not care about whether he belongs to the, what is the name of this street? Is it? Yes. Whether he belongs to the British palace or not. It didn't matter to him. What matters to that kid is, where is my mother's breast? He does not understand that he belongs to the greatest royal family that has ever been in the world. The British royal family. That is, many believers, they belong to the greatest royal family, the family of our Father in heaven. But all they look for is, they look for the breast. The way they come to church, they don't come to church for anything else, for the breast. The way they do the work of the kingdom, they do it for themselves. Because an infant does not care about other people. An infant is very selfish. They only think about themselves. They draw attention to themselves. They ask, what is there for me? Not what is there for other people. Other people don't exist unless they exist for the infant. So Paul is saying, I could not write to you a spiritual. I wrote to you as infants, mere infants in Christ. People who are seeking attention to themselves. When you see the pastor is there for me. I'm not there for him. He's there for me. What is there for me in this church? I come to the church to be blessed, not to bless the church. Mature people come to bless the church, but infants come to be blessed by the church. Infants are not givers. They are receivers. Ask your neighbor, are you a giver or a receiver? So, I mean, when we talk about the divine pattern, an infant cannot be able to operate in the divine pattern. It cannot be, it doesn't have the capacity, the understanding that is needed to steer their lives in the kingdom perspective. To steer their lives and be able to experience the kingdom life. They cannot be given any authority. They have not come to that level. So Paul is saying, I could not write to you as spiritual. So for me to have you work with me, I am to try and show you what is there for you in the kingdom. Because if I told you you belong to the kingdom, now take responsibility. You are not ready for that kind of message. And that is why you find the church today, it operates at a level where people just want to come where there is so much to receive. And they just come there. They flock there. There they can come, when it's still dark. Because they are coming to receive. That is the infant level. They have not purposed to. They have not understood the benefits of growing. When you grow in the kingdom of God, when you become a son, you start growing to take responsibility as a son in the kingdom. You will be given authority. In the natural, your parents will start showing you the deeds for land. Because they know now you can make sense. If you brought a deed to an infant, what is it? You tear it up. It has no meaning to him. So, there is so much for us in the kingdom of God. There is so much. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you back a bit from where I read, is going to say that, however, as it is written, verse 9 of chapter 2, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. The things that God has prepared for those that love him. Loving God is not just praise and worship. Loving God is having a relationship as that a spiritual relationship with God where you have come to a place and your life is patterned according to the divine pattern. Hallelujah. So the sons in the kingdom of God, the son is the level, the second level in the kingdom. From infants we go to sons in the kingdom. And that's what Paul is saying. As long as the son is a child, he's not better than a slave. The heir is as long as the heir is a child, is not better than a slave. But when we understand the divine pattern, when we align ourselves with the divine pattern, when we walk according to the divine pattern, God starts showing us things we could not see before. The things that he asks for them that love him, no eye has seen and no mind has ever conceived. Because they are received in revelation. A son starts to receive revelation from God. He is no longer walking in the natural mind. You remember where we read in Romans chapter 8, he said that the natural mind is hostile to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just tell your neighbor, your natural mind is hostile to God. Can you imagine? It doesn't matter how bright you are. It doesn't matter whether you are a genius. But as long as that mind is natural, and the way it is calculating and reasoning and putting things together, it is enmity with God. So if you are thinking so well about what you want to make out of life, it is still enmity with God. You still miss it out on God. Because God is spirit. And them that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Which tree are you eating from? Because in the garden of Eden, there were two trees. One tree is a tree of life. The other tree is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Both trees could give you knowledge about God. This tree of knowledge of good and evil is natural knowledge, which will come through reasoning. That is why the Bible says the woman looked at the tree and saw that it was good for food. She reasoned in her mind. And the devil told her, yes, it's good for you. God is actually hiding something from you. When you eat this tree, you will know what God knows. You will be like God. And then the other tree was the tree of life. It is just kept in the back here, in the background. But the tree of life is a tree of revelation, knowledge. If the man and the wife ate the tree of life, this other tree was going to be removed. Because they were now going to to receive revelation knowledge. When you operate on revelation knowledge, it's not reasonable sometimes. But you have come to a place where you know that when God means what he says, and he says what he means. The tree of revelation. God giving his revelation to you. Revelation to me. Let me give you an example. You see, the disciples see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter gets excited. He tells Jesus, Master, if it is you, ask me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And for sure, Peter, out of courage or lack of thinking, steps out of the boat and walks on the water. But as he made one, two, step, three, he's walking. I think after one step, two step, or third step, he looked at what he was walking. And he realized this is water which cannot carry him. So he moved from that tree in an instant to this tree. He started reasoning. But in Revelation, we hear what God is saying and we receive it as it is. Amen. So, spiritual sonship, sons, they have learned, they are learning on a continuous basis that I need to feed on the tree of revelation and not on this tree. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. When my life is based on this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I become carnal. And that is what Paul is talking about. Because we have carnal Christians. People who are carnal. That is in this, you know, is another way of describing the same Christian who is not growing, who has not moved from infancy to spiritual. Paul could tell the Corinthian Christians that you are not spiritual, you are actually carnal. He could have told them exactly like that. Someone said that a carnal Christian is a frustrated Christian. Tell your neighbor, a carnal Christian is a frustrated Christian. Why? Because the things that you want for your life are the things that God doesn't want for your life. The prayers that you pray for your life are the ones that God cannot answer for your life. So, life, Christian life, for a carnal Christian becomes very frustrating. Because what he is working for is what God is against. And you wonder, 90% of my prayers are not getting answers. I'm lucky even to get 5% out of God. Christianity is so frustrating. But if you understood the divine pattern, how it operates, you tailor your life towards understanding, valuing God's revelation in your life, you will discover you will pray different prayers. And God will answer the prayers, not for you, but for His glory, for His kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is not about benefiting you. It is about bringing the dominion, the glory of God, wherever God has put us. So the son is level two, where when you are a son, you are starting to come to a level where you can take responsibility. I remember when I got married, and I was responsible in our family. My dad one day was talking to me, with me, and he told me, "You know what? You're actually not now my son. You are my brother. Because you can take responsibility now. You can do certain things rightly without a lot of supervision." So the kingdom, I'm presenting to you spiritual levels. One is infant. The person is always thinking about themselves. Don't make a mistake of offending an infant in the church. Because if you... If this person thinks about themselves, they are not thinking about you. They are not thinking about the church. They are not thinking. They don't think. When they come to church, they come to a church, they check whether there is dust on the chair. If there is dust, he knows this is not the right church to be coming to. He does not think that he can come earlier or the day before and come and remove dust. He has no responsibility. Him or her, they only think about themselves. Are we together? If you are a pastor and you forget to SMS them or to call them, they evaluate you according to the SMS and according to the number of calls and according to the greetings you greet them. That's how a good pastor, according to them, is supposed to be categorized. Am I talking to somebody? It's just because this person is feeding on the tree of knowledge of good and evil, has never learned to feed on the tree of life. He's never learned to feed on the tree of life. He's a carnal Christian. In the kingdom of God, God doesn't just want sons. In actual fact, God doesn't just want sons. God wants fathers in the kingdom. Because the father is the reproducer, is the producer. Now, when you become a father, you reproduce yourself. Another person will sit there having the same features, the same level of responsibility as you have reproduced. But very many people in the church, I think they are doing family planning. I mean, ask your neighbor, have you reproduced yourself? So God wants us to come to a level of fathering. Paul says to Corinthians that you may have many teachers, but I am your father. I am a father. My DNA is in your system. I am a reproducer in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Back to our text. In Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, brethren, after he has written so many things previously, in explaining about even the Jews and how they fit in the commonwealth of the kingdom of God, after he has talked about the grace of God, he has talked about so many things. He has provoked them to admire, I mean, not just to admire, but to make effort to operate in the spiritual realm. He now challenges them in chapter 12. He says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Nobody is going to offer your body. It is you that is going to offer it. And then he says, this is your true and proper worship. True and what? Proper worship. True and proper worship. When I offer my body to God, what are you offering to God? Huh? What are you offering to God? Paul is saying, over your body as a living sacrifice. Holy. Holy means to be set apart. Holy means to be set apart for God. My life, my body, my motives, my desires are set apart for God. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, the priests had to select the animal on a continuous daily basis. He was not just going and picking any and bringing it before the Lord. And a sacrifice has to be made on a daily basis. He is going to pick the animal, and the animal that he is going to be to be killed for the, to be offered on the altar. And then he will bring it to the sacrifice in the morning.
In the same way, the writer is saying, over your body. Over your body. Hallelujah. The world wants to use your body. But God wants to use your body even much more. Hallelujah. Over your body. Come to the altar. Over your body to God. You are a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the sacrifice was dead. But now, the sacrifice is alive. My mouth, my lips can insult. My lips can be harsh. My lips can lie. My lips can destroy somebody. My eyes can look at pornography. They say in Kenya, macho aina pasia. I see what is presented before them. So these eyes, I can use them and see things that don't bring glory to God. I can fill my mind with the dreams about this life, ambitions of this life. But I can also fill my mind, fill my eyes, and my entire being can become permeated and influenced by the revelation knowledge of God. When Paul writes to Galatians, he tells them, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. The Greek word for walk in the Spirit there is the word plelo. That word means to be permeated by the Spirit. Do you know that I and you on a daily basis, I must make effort to be filled by the Spirit. Paul tells Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled in the Spirit. Before you come to church, to be empowered, you need to have been empowered right from home. You need to have a time where God is filling you. Huh? So when Paul says walk in the Spirit, what he means is like, you know, in chemistry, when you have a chemical you put in water, it colors the whole thing. That is what it means. God can color the way you talk to your servants. Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can color your life. Even as you count money, the color is there. He is helping you. He is through and through in your life. When you have come to that level, what you are trying to do and what you are doing actually is that you are coming to the altar. On a daily basis. The altar of sacrifice and to have a sacrifice in the morning and in the evening on a daily basis. The priest used to come. And that is how even the New Testament priest, because we are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. We are to bring a sacrifice to God on a continuous basis.
What sacrifice is empowerment center bringing to God? What sacrifice are you bringing? Because it's not just a sacrifice for Tony and Catherine or the leaders. No, it's a sacrifice for every one of us. When we become a people that sacrifice, God will start speaking from this pulpit and he will speak and shake the nation. But when our sacrifice is casual, when our sacrifice is erratic, when our sacrifice is, you know, not serious, I'm telling you the truth. That's the way God will respond to us. If you see God moving in a place, know there is someone who is making the sacrifice. I pray that as a church, and I speak now as an apostle, that you will bring a worthy sacrifice to the altar. When you bring a worthy sacrifice, God will respond to you at the level you are responding. The way you are responding to him, he's going to respond to you. So you offer your sacrifice, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Over your body as a living sacrifice. Over your body as a living sacrifice. You over yourself. You allow God to enter into your system, to transform your motives, so that the motives, your motives can be sanctified. May it be motives in your career, in whatever you're going to do. You are not competing with anybody. You are competing with a destiny that God ordained for you. So Paul says that do not conform to the pattern of the world, but let your mind be transformed. Transformed is the Greek word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis. I think we studied metamorphosis in primary school, lower grade. Your life is to undergo metamorphosis. Amen. Metamorphosis. We want to see our sister undergoing through metamorphosis. We want to see our brother here undergoing through metamorphosis. We don't want the brother we saw last year but one. He's still the same. Because when a creature goes through metamorphosis, it does not remain the same. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying. And metamorphosis is not comfortable. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, metamorphosis is not comfortable. Hallelujah. You are dying to one stage and being born into another stage. Amen? Selfishness is dying. Pride is dying. Are we together? Amen? Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And even my Africanism, because many of us here are from Africa, not all of us, but many are. That African mentality is dying. I'm becoming a kingdom person. Not more African than ever. No. I am a kingdom person. I'm a kingdom person. Before a butterfly can fly. Hallelujah. And you know we like butterflies. They have some of the best colors. Huh? Many ladies' decoration in their clothing, you find the butterfly patterns are there. But before that butterfly can fly, we are told it has undergone four stages. Four stages. It is laid as an egg on a leaf. And on the leaf where the butterfly cannot lay its egg on a stone, because life will be discontinued. So it lays the egg on a leaf, because that leaf is to provide food for the creature. As it is being transformed. And when the egg hatches and it starts to enjoy the food that is provided there, it can be so comfortable now that it is out of the egg situation. And when you read the metamorphosis process, the creature will become a worm. And a worm has too many legs. And trying to do geography only on one single leaf. And this worm also has coloration. And I was thinking about many Christians being worms. They are so well colored, but still they are only moving around the geography of one territory of one leaf. They have never grown to move to the next level. And God wants the butterfly, because the butterfly is out of limitation. It is going to fly from one level to the other. And is going to reproduce in another place. So Paul is saying, let your mind be renewed. So God is calling you and me to have the process of metamorphosis taking place on a continuous basis. There is something that I need to shed off for the kingdom of God. I need to lay down my life at the altar. As I continue to lay down my altar, Paul is saying, I die daily. Paul is dying daily. He is being transformed. He is being metamorphosed. He is coming to the dying place in his life. And as he is dying, he is being transformed. And he is welcoming greater glory of God in his life. When you carry the glory of God in your life, some places you will go, you will not need to speak for yourself. God will speak for you. One time I went to India in 2008, and I did not have much money. So I was kind of almost broke. Not fully broke, but almost broke. And I was brought to New Delhi. The airport, New Delhi, very big airport. And then when I was there, I wanted to go to the lounge where I can rest. But there you have to pay. It's not like here or even in Kenya. For you to enter the lounge to just wait where there is even the restaurant, you have to pay. So I started paying money to enter there. And then I started realizing that I don't have really much. So I entered. And the place is packed, full of many people. And I almost started complaining to the Lord about this situation, because my host brought me too early to the airport. And I don't like being in airports for too many hours. So, but when I was there, the Lord has a sense of humor. When you love him and when you are operating with him in your life. As I was there and stayed, I think, for an hour or so, reading a lot of warnings. If you leave any luggage unattended, it's going to be picked by security. So now, I'm there with my baggage, because I'm having everything, because now I've not checked in. It will take time. I was brought to Ali. Then someone came, an Indian. Not a very smart one. Is actually, I think he had smoked so much cigarette, his teeth were just, I don't even want to say dark, they were black. If there is a difference between dark and black. Yani, you just see the color of blackness on the teeth. So when he talked to me, I almost said,
Why are you talking to me? Huh? I mean, humanly speaking, I didn't want to respond to him. But anyhow, I talked with him. And we started talking. After a short time, I discovered that what he was doing is the career I was trained in. So you see, we started now connecting. And he was moving out of the country as an expert to go to another place. So I had some money for coffee. I think just about one cup or something. So I said, when we are talking, and I behaved, I think, like a Westerner, not like an African, because an African, you don't say you want to take something and you cannot be able to provide for your friend. I hope you people, you understand. But you know, there are certain cultures, I can easily take what I can take, and I don't care about whether you are there or not. So the African in me was really saying, don't say it. Because you don't have even money to provide a cup of coffee for this new found friend. But I said, I think the Holy Ghost forced my lips to say, I want actually to buy a cup of coffee. He said, coffee? I'm going to buy coffee for you. I'm going to buy coffee for you. And what do you want to take coffee with? Actually, that man, without exaggeration, turned, removed his wallet, and he said, see here, I have a lot of money. I have a lot of money. I got a servant. I was not going to move. I'm telling you, that man went to the coffee, brought the coffee, and whatever I wanted. When I eat and I'm finishing, he's asking, do you want a Coke or a Pepsi? I'm going to go for it. I'm telling you, my time, and I stayed there, we stayed with him for some hours. Every other moment, he was telling me, I have money, and if you need anything, just tell me. I'm going to go for it. Don't joke with God, my friend. When you carry the glory of God, you can eat what you did not work for. I'm telling you the truth. That man, we came with him up to Dubai International Airport. When we are at the airport, that man, and I think, I'm not sure whether my ticket had some meal or something, no. That man, even at Dubai Airport, he's almost forgetting he's going to a different direction than me. He's coming to me saying, you know what? I have money. Can you have breakfast? You know that I'm talking to people here who are working and making money. Do you know your salary can limit you? Your business income can limit you. The God that I'm speaking about, when you lay down your life on the altar, you feed on the tree of revelation. My friend, you'll not be limited to a payslip. God is going to take you higher. God is going to reveal to you what belongs to you beyond your imagination. Some of us, we are so boxed into how many dollars we are making per hour. And we think how we can make an extra. That extra, you'll be surprised that God could bring it to you in a way you have not imagined. But you must pay the price of understanding the dynamics of the life that Jesus called you to. You are called to a spiritual life. Paul says, I love Paul. In actual fact, when I went to be baptized by immersion, I was called Paul. Can you imagine? Yeah, I was called Paul. I only did not change my name because of the ID. Then in our country, it's such a process to change the names. But I chose Paul. I love Paul. Paul says, to the Ephesians, blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. The blessings, spiritual blessings, are not based on your education. They are not based on your past experience. They are spiritual. If I can become a man or a woman of the Spirit, I receive what is readily provided for by God. God is a provider. Can you say Kenya Police? They are called Kenya Police Utumishi Kwa Wote. And I want to tell you, that became real to me one day. They really became my Watumishi. They served me one day. And the police who served me was a drunkard. I was undertaken a team of, with a big van, we call it Matatu, to Morogoro for mission. And we are coming from Tanzania at Namanga border. We have enough money to take us to Eldoret. Not a lot of money for lunch. When I reached the Namanga border, there was the policeman who was in charge those days, because it was not a big police station. It was not of a very high rank. And I'm talking about the 90s, when they were earning very little money. Not these days when they are well paid. I had talked to him when we were clearing the car while going to Morogoro. Then somehow the Holy Spirit put it in me. Why can't you go and talk to this policeman just to tell him that you are passing through and you appreciate that he helped you and now you are going back to Eldoret? I did like that. I went and said, oh, excuse me, sir. I just wanted to come and tell you, my team, we have had a safe travel and now we are going back to our place. He said, Pastor, you have come. You are here. I'm going to buy you lunch. I said, you're going to buy me lunch? I think that man may not have been earning more than 5,000 Kenya shillings those days. You're going to buy me lunch? But I'm not alone. I'm with a very big team. He said, no, don't worry. I'm going to buy you lunch. That man left his place, his office, came with me. We went with him. I think he went and bought like a whole side, you know, one side of a goat. And when I tried to help him to carry, he doesn't want me to carry anything. He's carrying meat. He's carrying cabbages. They are almost falling on the side. He's saying, no, I'm giving lunch to God's people. He spent about 4,000 shillings those days. That could have been half of his salary or slightly above a half of his salary. God provided for me. I said, God, you have a sense of humor. When I have the natural mind, I operate in a very limited scope. Everything I think about, I limit myself to my experience. But when I am spiritual, I am entering into another experience. The experience that God ordained that I operate in. Man is not, how do I put this? I want to say this. You are a spirit. And the best will come out of you when you become a man or a woman of the Spirit. When you choose to honor God with your life. Don't serve in church like where I come from. I think the other week I was preaching on diligent spirit. And, you know, there are people when they are serving in church, they serve with a very funny attitude. Because obviously when you serve in church, nobody is going to pay you for what you are doing. And so you find like people are so committed to the work where they are getting paid. But did you know that the spiritual things demand higher commitment and higher higher availability. Praise the Lord. I know I'm losing friends, but let me speak because I live in Kenya and not in America. And I want to deliver somebody and help you come to a place where you will have the best that God ordained for you. Hallelujah. So when I accept the things of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, I'm telling you, my life starts to open up to new aspects, new avenues, new things. God connects me with the people that I did not imagine I could get connected to. Hallelujah. Conform. Don't conform to the world. Don't conform to America. Hallelujah. Don't conform to Kenya. Don't conform to the systems of the world. Ask God to give you revelation about his system. Let's stand up on our feet. Thank you, Jesus.